That was like a good initial crack, but then it was bad.
Well, we almost had a spill situation brewing. Welcome in. Always a spill situation brewing. No puns allowed. Adam and Paige, you know, we're almost at double digit weeks. It's like we've been doing this pod now for a couple of years, and we reached the point of the season where you and I are like, it's going fast. But shit's going fast, Paige. Like, shit's going fast.
It's lightning speed. We're like 2 weeks away from, 2.5 weeks away from a college football playoff rankings.
Which, by the way, we will be unveiling in the BR app, you and I.
Yes.
I was thinking about that because that's a much different show than the AP poll.
It is.
It's like chaos scenarios unfolding, which we do a lot of on this pod too. So it'll be, you know, the preview of that. We'll do it on Tuesday night and then we'll record on Wednesday. And it'll be like, you know, chaos theories. I can't wait with the 12 team.
It'll just be talking football all day long. It's so funny because we, like you said, we've been doing this podcast for what feels like 20 years almost.
Yes.
I think because football season like takes 5 years out of year really every year.
It does.
But I never get sick of like talking about college football things. Like,
no.
I think sometimes even like we said, for example, we were like, we don't really have that much to talk about this week. Like, obviously we don't want to recap too much of what happened this weekend. We can discuss, you know, a surprising loss for Texas and things like that. But I just never get tired of talking about the what ifs, the scenarios. Before this, we were just talking about the Heisman. Like, there's so much that is always just up in the air. And I feel like this year I'm not getting as like bogged down by like, okay, once we get to this game, we'll know. Once we get to this game, we'll know. Because every single week we are learning something new and there's playoff implications in all of it, whether it be injury-based, whether it be, you know, games, and whether it be even just conversation around the sport. It's kind of wild. I like the new age.
It's also, there's such a wide net because of the playoff that I think we have to recalibrate, like, what is chaos? By the way, before we go any further, I've got two things to say. First, shout out to Municipal. Two things involving Municipal. Yep. Municipal.com, friends of the show. It is Municipal season in terms of getting all your gear. In my world, Paige, it's starting to get a little colder now. Municipal's got us covered there. I also want to apologize to the people that sent me game day upset on Saturday. We have an update. I do have access to my ex account. I really want to thank the woman who I got to be careful with my legs. Stalked on LinkedIn to help me after 9 days. 9 days of unanswered. She was actually amazing. Seriously, thank you so much. I am back on. So game day upsets, assuming I don't get kicked out of my ex account, will be back on this weekend.
Full disclosure, I may or may not have taken advantage of you not having access to your Twitter account, X account. I realized that it would have been like kind of my benefit. I should have used it earlier, especially when there was that fake when you were saying because 247 got hacked and it said that he was going to be out for or was sitting out the rest of the year to prep for the draft. Which, by the way, I do have to say, this is how you know college football is literally out of hand. Is that, like, I would have believed it if I saw it in real time. It was deleted before I was able to see it. People were screenshotting it, so I knew something was up. But I wouldn't not believe it. You know, the double negative. It's not believable. You know what I mean?
Well,
like, it's not out of the realm of, like, craziness that, like, we've experienced in the sport. Like, it wouldn't shock me. Yes, it would be unprecedented. It'd be crazy. It'd be stupid, honestly. But I appreciated the shock value of it. So whoever thought of that, you know what? It could have been real. And it probably was for people for like 5 minutes.
I didn't get that news until like 7 hours later.
Yeah, because let's get back to that. So circling back, I told you that there was that fake news that made the internet. But then I got the idea of, like, telling you more fake news, and I waited, like, a little bit. I waited probably, like, 30 to 45 minutes before I text you that, like, Pete Alonso said he never wants to play in New York again. He never wants to be in the Mets. And I just text you, oh, my God, Alonso.
Oh, my God, Alonso. Now, I'm assuming, like, I'm like, wow, did the Mets just sign him? Can they sign him? Like, it read like a happy text at first.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, he said he never wants to play for the Mets ever again. Day after, he literally just said that he, like, loves it there. And I was like, I couldn't even go for that long. I just thought it was funny.
It's kind of a dick move.
It is. But it was funny.
If you would have let it go, because I did go to the fucking, like, Mets blog. I'm like, all right, like, this is serious.
And you did?
Oh, yeah. No.
Wait, that makes it better that I actually got you. Because I said it quickly.
This is not like you. Like,
no, it's not at all.
I know people in my world. This is funny. Like, people. So I was at an event in our neighborhood on Sunday, and I saw one of my neighbors. He goes, "Hey, man, people think you're kind of like dead. You should, like, because you haven't posted on Twitter." Like, one of our friends that we went to school with, like, texted him to ask if I was okay. Like, so.
That's how you know.
Yeah, that's looking out, not making a fucking
kind of
Mets
a big deal.
Rumors. Well, no, it's just friends, right? Like, this is what we do. We look for each other, but he's clearly. And then I got a bunch of direct messages like, "Where are your locks?"
Okay,
which
people
were
just waiting to call you, you know, an asshole.
Yeah, I was 0-5 on our picks last week, and then I was 0-5 on our primary picks, and then I won like the three others that I picked for BR. I've had this happen where I've gone 5-0 and then 0-4.
Like
I've had complete flips.
Yeah.
So
I think I'm gonna go through, and maybe by next week I will have a count of where we're at for the season between the two of us and see who is leading.
We can talk now about some certain football events that did transpire.
Yes.
I am still pretty floored at how Texas Georgia all went down.
Let me just say, what a terrible football game.
It was a terrible football game.
Like, it was so bad. No one played well. Not a soul played well.
Before we did our live show on Sunday, I could do it more gracefully here because it was funny. I was ranting about Quinn Ewers' check down.
Yeah.
Like, and you're like, oh, you should say that. But in the rant pre-show, I'm like swearing. And then in the show, I was like, well, there's a little too many check downs. That motherfucker needs to stop checking down. I don't know what's going on. Their offense is dumb. I get that Georgia's pass rush is good. There are other ways to move the ball down the field. They looked pathetic. Like, what the fuck?
Also, the Kirk comment about how Steve Sarkisian doesn't get fired up. That one was hilarious. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Someone actually tweeted out. I saw it after we talked to each other about it before our Sunday show. Where people tweeted that video of him freaking out on the person telling him not to go on the field.
Oh, yeah.
I honestly, that was comical.
He'll cut your throat if you stand in his way in the tunnel.
Exactly. So, but also I was just surprised by Sark's inability to like figure it out. I just was really, and not to say that he's known for that, but I just was like, oh, this year is different with what you have, the depth that you have, the games that you've already played it. I don't know. It just, to me, it seemed very strange. Coaching-wise, I was alarmed. And I mean, how you win bad football games like that one is you're outcoached. And obviously Kirby outcoached him. But there's a lot of things I have to say about Kirby. But I will say... my mind just like immediately went to like a compartmentalize the Kirby discussion.
No, I can't wait
because we'll get there. But in terms of Sark, like that's an embarrassing display of even if you get into the college football playoff, I would be really, really worried. All this to say, I think even though Oregon beat Ohio State, I still think Ohio State has a really good chance. Like if Ohio State played that Texas team or that Georgia team, I feel like they'd obliterate them.
So it's been a while since Texas got de-pantsed. This is really interesting. You go back, I looked at this earlier. You look at 2021, they lost 6 games in a row. Remember that? But they were all close. 2022, okay, they lost to Alabama 20-19. That was when Ewers got hurt.
Yeah.
They lost 41-34 to Oklahoma State. They lost 17-10 to TCU, 27-20 to Washington. 2023. They lost one game to Oklahoma, 34-30, and then they lost 37-31 to Washington. It has been a while since they looked like they were, I'd go as far to say, like, didn't belong in the same field, because they've not looked like anything like that this year. They, right. And Sark was wearing it. Sark has got this zen, like, I love it. I think it's very positive, and it is. It's been almost like he's like a yoga coach, even though we know he can rip somebody's fucking throat off if they stand in his way. And he looked like he was not, it's a little concerning, like body language police right here.
Yes,
like,
yes. Siren. That's what I was getting at. It's like it looked alarming.
Now let's translate to Kirby. When Kirby was getting his ass kicked, don't yet. You'll have your time. When Kirby's getting his ass kicked by Alabama, okay, he's kind of parading around doing the coach thing, but that's pretty normal operating procedure. And they interview him at halftime, and he's like, you know, we're getting our ass kicked, and blah blah blah, go Dawgs, go Dawgs. And but like, did not look panicked. Looked like a dude that just got his ass kicked, but looked like he'd been there before. Sark was kind of leaking oil, I thought.
Yeah.
Now go ahead. On Kirby. And I don't know if it matters, because if you kick everybody's ass, and I think Texas will be fine. But on the Kirby thing, like, y'all mad at him for getting mad at the shitty-ass refs?
No.
Because they suck.
I was mad at his comments that he made in his press conference during the week by saying it was dangerous and unsafe. And if we're worried about people's safety and things being unsafe, maybe we worry about your own football team driving over 100 miles an hour.
Oh, okay. So you are not...
I just don't... That to me is like, it's not real. Like, I understand being mad at the refs and being like, hey, that was ridiculous. Fans basically changed the outcome. First of all, it was the correct call that they eventually got to. So let's just start there. The way that it happened was wrong. I agree. It was bad. That should not happen. But to then turn the focus to fans throwing cans and being like, oh, you know, it's so dangerous for players and blah, 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 and all this stuff. Like, that part bothered me. Because it's like, oh, that's what we're worried about is safety now. I can stick to the football stuff. You know what I mean? If you're not going to talk about the other stuff, then let's focus just on the football. And the football aspect of that is the call being changed after it was already called one way and is not reviewable. That shouldn't have happened. Yes, I agree. That part just really rubbed me the wrong way.
I don't want to detour from this, because you can lean in as much as you want, but did you read the Matthew McConaughey statement that he posted?
I did. I did.
First off, I kind of love that Matthew McConaughey has become a mascot of a football team. Like, I don't really know what he's in lately.
What's his title again?
It's Minister of Chi. What is it?
No. Minister of Chi.
Minister of Culture.
Culture. Yes.
Wait. First off, Minister of Chi is a way better title.
Minister of Chi. Chi and culture are two different things.
Chi. No, you got good Chi. McConaughey has great Chi. Minister of Chi. We in my friend group, we say the word Chi a lot. Like, hey, if we're gambling and we sit at the table, like, does this table have good Chi or bad Chi?
Oh, wow. So Chi is like the
vibes.
The old elder millennial vibes. Yeah.
Elder is a little strong.
An elder millennial.
I'm
not calling you a boomer.
No, none of this. This is somehow getting worse. Chi is just better. Minister of Chi. If that's what I should be.
Would you like to be the Minister of Chi?
I think my Chi is largely very good. Most of the time, when I'm not trying to get the kids to sleep, my chi is great. Like, most of the time,
your chi is in check.
I've got good chi. Unless I'm getting kids to bed, then it's just unless like, a kid is delaying
going to bed, yeah, and asking and then, 5 more minutes, one more thing. Oh, but I forgot to tell you, Dad.
No, my chi is very good, but I do love that McConaughey released a statement. You know, like, this is the way he posted it. I don't even know if I'm going to read the whole thing, but he posted it in some sort of like clip art, like
it looks just like Canva.
It does. But here,
and they like made sure the orange was the right color.
But let's get real about Bob Obama and the field glitch we had. Not cool. Bogey move. Yeah, that call was BS. but we're better than that. Longhorn Nation knows how to show up, show out like no other, and still keep our class. So going forward, let's clean that kind of BS up and leave that behind us for good. We have to shake hands on that. Now, okay, I love that you could get a huge movie star who is the minister of chi, who like can post this, and it's genuine because I think this I don't think this is manufactured. I think they said like, hey, let's release a statement, and we got this fucking cool guy to do it for us. Like, it's the best way a school could handle a kind of a shitty situation. The minister of chi comes in, and he just signs it off with McConaughey.
McConaughey, like,
that's good chi.
You're Kramer.
Kramer.
You're just Kramer.
Minister of chi.
We'll get you a little name tag that says Minister of Chi, or a shirt that says Minister of Chi. So can we 1 second before we move on?
Oh, I kind of wanted to give just my continue. Take on, yeah, go ahead.
Your McConaughey impression, I just would love to say that you are good at a lot of things.
Thanks.
But this is, you're not going to be doing McConaughey impressions for a living.
Didn't know where you were going. I thought you were saying like, hey, that was.
Oh,
really
you thought
good.
I was going to give you a compliment? Sorry.
Well, you're good at a lot of things kind of like steered me down.
You are good at a lot of things, but this is not one of them. It's kind of like, you know, when someone says like, who sings this song? And then you say that and you're like, let them. That's kind of how.
No, I don't
I feel
know
about
that, actually.
That accent.
That sounds like a non-elder millennial thing to.
Wait,
be.
Have you literally never heard that joke?
No.
Where like, say you're singing a song and someone's like, oh, who sings that? And they're like, oh, the Beatles. And they're like, let them. You have never heard that joke?
I never heard it. Sounds like something outside of my age bracket.
And
maybe
I don't
that's
know.
Not age specific. Maybe I'm just a
no.
Hermit.
That is.
I
not age specific.
I do want one more Kirby. Okay, I actually did not read his "Let's keep the kids safe" comment. Like,
let me find it for you. Let me read the actual.
No,
quote.
But that's fine. I will say I kind of like feisty Kirby. I after the game where he's shitting on the officials. And he's like, they tried to take the game from us, like, and he's kind of fired up, like, didn't agree that he said like Carson Beck. I don't know why he gets all this shit. Well, Carson Beck kind of sucks now.
He literally looks so bad.
But I kind of like when he was just on. Like, we want coaches to do more of that. I've come full circle on this. Like Ryan Day, like, oh, I wonder what Lou Holtz is doing right now. No, you put a microphone in the coach's face after the game. I didn't love Ryan Day doing that at the time. Now I'm kind of like, you know what? Sing
wow.
your motherfucking
okay.
song.
I feel like that's a personal attack on Ryan Day, and I'm a Ryan Day defender. So
no, I'm
like,
saying
so hard
I
and you're
was
not
wrong.
Kirby do it. You are, but I also want to say it is funny because like it kind of gave me Saban vibes. Like it was so good. Like I don't think Saban ever was really as direct with the officiating thing,
no,
but like the fired
no.
upness and the willingness. Like you get a big win and you're like angry. You still have the anger.
No, that's a good way to put it. Like he was pissed off for the next 24 hours, despite the fact
so
that
this
it went
is,
very
this
well.
Is, are you ready for? Let me just give you the even just reading the direct quote again. Okay, so maybe it was Saturday after the game. So it was not obviously his post game, but it was Saturday. But I saw the comments on Monday. Now we've set a precedent. If you throw a bunch of stuff on the field and endanger athletes, you have a chance to get a call reversed. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. That's dangerous, Kirby.
Okay. Sounds like the only dangerous thing in that entire conversation to me. Nothing else dangerous to speak of as far as I'm concerned. No, sir.
Oh, man.
No, that's
that is
perfectly fine.
My Lord.
You mentioned Saban. Let's talk about Bama.
Oof.
So, my daughter turned 10. You and my daughter very close on birthdays, which
yes.
I like. Good,
she
good
turned
she.
10?
Good she. Yeah, double digits. Good she. And there was a moment when she's opening up her presents. So when you have kids and they're young, you have huge boxes and it's very fun. It's like big items. It's toys. And then, you know, again, the older you get, it's like the smaller. We had that moment.
The smaller item,
the
more pricey the item.
Exactly. So I remember, like, we're getting ready to open up her stuff, and it's like, birthdays are a big deal in our house, and of course, you know me, we can't help spoil everybody, and et cetera, et cetera. But I'm looking, I'm like, God damn, we didn't get her anything. And then I'm like, oh no, we got her a lot of stuff. But you realize, like, oh my God, this little girl is now 10 years old and life has changed. I say that as a prelude to Alabama. Life has changed. Alabama has changed. This is over. Like, this is, I've wrote about this. This is not, we're not going back. Alabama can still be really good. And I think will be really good. DeBoer has won everywhere. He will win at Alabama. I actually love his disposition, even though it's shockingly different from Saban. Like, I'm more DeBoer than I am Saban.
I like him because he gives he's a West Coast vibes guy.
He's a West Coast vibes. I get a sense, unlike Sark, DeBoer is not panicking.
No.
But he's still losing. And Alabama is ranked like number 42 in scoring defense right now. Like, it's over. Like, it doesn't mean they're going to be bad.
Yeah.
But it's over, right?
So I guess I think my question would be, I don't think it's as much about specifically Kalen DeBoer and this Alabama team. I think it's the state of college football as a whole. Because, like, what Nick Saban did is not going to be recreated. We thought, you know, people said it would be recreated with Clemson. It wasn't. People said it would be recreated with Georgia. It wasn't. Because of the state of college football and how it's changed. And you're never going to get that again. And we've talked about this a lot. Like, the gap between the best teams and, like, the middle teams is closing. Like, we, especially in conferences, I mean, look at the SEC, look at the Big Ten. There is so much that is shifting, and the wide variety of talent that you are getting in other places and the level of competition is evening out. So I will say, in terms of, like, Alabama doesn't look good, but neither does anyone else this season. I guess you could say, I mean, Oregon hasn't looked good in certain parts of this. They're the number one team in the country right now, but this season they have not looked good in a lot of ways. And they didn't play a clean game against Ohio State. So I genuinely believe that we're getting a more evened out competition. Now, do I think there's going to be a big gap from, like, 15 down? Probably. That's probably the cutoff there. But I do think...
Agreed.
I do think that it is just the state of college football and not specifically just a problem that... Like, Kalen DeBoer was going to run into this. Any coach was going to run into this at Alabama because of the nature of this. Nick Saban was running into this at Alabama.
Well, that's where I'm going.
Okay.
Saban knew.
Yeah.
It wasn't just the state of college football. It was the state of Alabama.
Yeah.
I'm going to go a little conspiracy theory. And I'm not saying Saban quit.
2 weeks in a row, conspiracy theory on the pod.
Saban, they lost to Texas. They played gross to South Florida. They barely beat Texas A&M. They barely beat Arkansas. Tennessee, go through last year, okay? Like, Auburn, they needed a miracle to beat Auburn.
Yeah.
Remember that? Fourth and fucking 800?
Yeah.
So all this stuff happens. Saban exhausted. And I think Saban realistically looked at what they had and said, like, He MacGyvered the shit out of this last year. He got a lot of luck. And
yeah.
He got a lot, and he saved it. Like, you make your own luck. And I think he realistically said, like, what we're seeing now, it doesn't mean DeBoer's a bad coach.
Nope.
I think he's a great coach. I this is where I feel bad writing this story. Like, but it does feel like we're just in this new chapter of Alabama. And, like, some of my favorite memories in this sport have been spent in that town covering this team, covering Nick Saban, talking with you about this team. Like, it was excellence of the, when it was running, there was nothing like it, even including Kirby Smart. And it's over. And, like, part of me is a little sad about that, because the sport, I think, is better if Alabama is, like, invincible. I think people, you need that. And we don't have that this year at all. And it's kind of weird.
And that's the thing is, like, hopefully we start to get that. Like, I think part of why Dan Lanning stayed where he was is because he knows that he can build a powerhouse like that at a place like Oregon in a conference like the Big Ten.
Yes.
That's why the Alabama job wasn't enticing, because it wasn't going to be done. Like, it's going to be done again, probably not in the same way and for as long, but it is going to happen again, and it's going to be at a different place. It's not going to be able to be replicated at Alabama. And I 1,000% think that this is more about how the level of competition is becoming more even. And we're seeing, you know, I mean, transfer wise, like it doesn't even need to be NIL related. Like even the fact that like guys that played it, you know, I guess this is a bad example, Holy Cross 1 year and, you know, can transfer to another school. And like it's, you can, you're getting this talent filtered up. It's, for me, it is, it's sad, but it's also like, I find it pretty exciting because again, it's not going to be the same old Tebow. I mean, how many years in a row did we watch Clemson and Alabama play each other?
No, that's a good thing too.
And like, you know what I mean? It's like,
it was our own, it was our own ritual.
And let me tell you, those, and so what's so funny, and like we talked about this earlier, like I never get sick of talking about this sport. And even when we were talking about two teams over and over again, we were talking about Trevor Lawrence all the time. His legacy, was he the best, like, you know, college football prospect? I mean, he was one of the most highly touted recruits ever. And like people were thinking that he was like quarterback Jesus because it was like, this kid could do no wrong. He was competing really well. He was a good person on and off the field, like all these things. And those storylines happen even when you have a you know, maybe two teams battling it out or even three. But this version of college football, it's like there's, you never run out of things to talk about and players to talk about. Because it's just so, it's so much more unpredictable now than it has ever been.
And it's translating into immediate results. Like,
yeah,
this has been a month straight of weird. And like, I it's a weird week of games this week. It's kind of, are there like a lot of teams off, by the way? I know, like, even when I was looking at locks, it feels like there are less games than usual. I don't know if I didn't love
less,
I don't
top
love
25 games. I believe this is like a big top 25 bye week. Let's look.
Yeah. I mean, there's certainly, in any event, I'm so excited for our playoff show. And it's
God,
like a couple
I
of weeks away.
Cannot wait.
Why did they do this on election night? Like, why?
First of all, I was like looking at the calendar. I'm like, okay, we've got this, we've got this. I'm making the college football schedule for November. And I'm like, November 5th. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, also, it's NFL trade deadline as well.
I don't give a shit.
Why
are
we doing this?
You signed me up, buddy. I'm going to have a solo cup full of red wine. And I'm going to do the shit out of this
and
show.
Last year, the first one was on Halloween.
That was bad. I remember because we were going
also,
to New York. And it was like,
I was in New York and there was no, by the way, and the old show, this is like a behind the curtain thing. The old show producers, so on our normal Sunday show, you could see comments, like they come up and we can see the chat. But on the show that was on Max, we were doing in the studio, they had an iPad for me, but it had like a dock on it and they would copy and paste comments in there.
Yeah.
So I wasn't watching the full live chat to be able to react to the live chat. And one on election night, let's keep it happy. All
God.
Right. In the comments, let's focus on the college football playoff. Cause that's going to be like, obviously go vote. Actually, let's just put that out there. Go vote. But we're going to be focusing on, I'm voting early. So I can focus on the college football playoff.
That's a good point too.
Yes. Go vote early.
Shit.
So
who plays? You know there's going to be some shitty game on election night too, right? Oh, no, there's not.
No. First college football playoff rankings.
Wait. Hold on. Oh, I looked wrong. Nope, we got shitty football. We got Mashin,
yeah.
Miami of Ohio, Ball State. God bless America.
I'm excited for the comment section, though, in terms of being able to see it live.
Yes.
And react to it in real time because, first of all, not to brag, but I don't know if you saw this week that someone said that I was the smartest person in the room in the comments.
No, I didn't.
And there was a grouping of she was right and she's the smartest person in the room comments. And I got to say, guys, that has never happened as a woman who is on shows, podcasts and all kinds of things. They're there. And people believe that. But the comments. A string of comments. That was quite a bit.
How do I respond to this properly? Like,
you
what
say,
is the...
I'm really happy that people stop commenting on your physical appearance and have decided to.
You know what's crazy? Like, legitimately, I'm shocked at the viewership of this show. Like the views that we get, the AP poll show, we've talked about this, is this really weird phenomenon that kind of defies a lot of what
logic.
The expectations would be. There are weeks when nothing happens and tens of thousands of people still watch this show.
Yeah.
Live.
So we're averaging, by the way, you guys, there's about 40,000 people that watch that show. So if you're not watching it, please come watch it because it is really
no,
fun.
No, it's awesome. And so, yeah, the comments, like, you're going to get some of that. The other part of it that's fun, and again, go watch the playoff show, is you and I get to do, we have this down now as like it's like a dance routine where we just know how to do it. Like, we know, like, each other's cadences. We talk enough. So I hope so. But in the playoff, it was fun. The studio show was fun. Last year was awesome. Like, but it
exhausting.
Was different. It was exhausting and it was different. And this will be more us, I think.
Not to say that we don't love having other people on, because we do. We do enjoy conversations with other people and having people involved in the conversation. But like you said, you and I definitely have a flow. The people show for me is so fun because, like, there are so many people watching that show. There's so many differences of opinions. And, like, I love looking in the comments. Like, I like reacting in real time to the comments.
Sure.
Because it's like, I tell us what you want us to talk about and we will talk about it. It's basically like a live podcast.
Make
I will
bicycle.
Say, if you do watch the AP poll show, keep going to it and just say you want it to be an hour and say that for the college football playoff show, because I don't know that you and I are going to be able to put all of our thoughts together about the college football playoff into 30 minutes. We will obviously talk about it on the podcast. But in real time, you guys, go comment in there. Flood the comments, guys. Flood the comments. Say, make this an hour, make this an hour, make this an hour, just so we have the time.
The other thing that'll be really interesting is when we start the show. Do you start it when they're out, or do you start it as they're being released?
Yeah. Because they do it differently every year.
Well, what's fun for us, when we do the AP poll show, we literally see the poll for 20 seconds. And then we go.
Right? Yeah. And we don't see, like, so I don't have Twitter open. I don't know if you do to, like, see your reaction.
I close it. I do.
I have, like, notes on certain teams. And then other than that, I have the AP pull up and we go.
All right. Let's talk this week.
Yeah.
It's a weird week. I mentioned that number of games is a little weird. I had a really hard time with locks, which we'll get to. I think I'll give this week a little love because it's not the greatest thing. I think that the Friday night is one of the best Friday nights of college football we'll get this year.
Yes.
In terms
I
of
will
substance.
Say I also struggled tremendously trying to figure out what to pick this week. This week was the first week that I've, like, genuinely been like, I don't even know what games I want to take here. Like, this is hard.
It's very hard. I'm an
underdog.
I bet
against my own team. Spoiler.
I like underdogs largely when we do this. I this week is very chalk heavy.
Okay.
So what games stand out? Let's talk. I don't have A&M or LSU in my.
I don't either.
We can talk about them a little bit. I mean, the fact that both of them, this is for, like, the leader in the SEC.
SEC.
I think it's awesome. I think it's really, I think it's pretty amazing.
And schedule wise, in terms of, like, playoff. Okay, so the LSU has Alabama.
But they
Florida,
play them at home.
Vandy.
Like, LSU's probably going to be favored against Alabama at home.
Oh, I would assume. Oh, yeah, yeah.
They play Florida. They play
Vandy.
It
is. Wow.
Texas
A&M, by the way, all right. This is wild. Yeah, whoever wins this really has, like, one other game that they have to, like, kind of worry about. I mean, I guess you could say, though, I don't want to take anything away for Vanderbilt, for LSU, but, oh, God, it's crazy.
Well, A&M plays at South Carolina, and they play at Auburn, which are, like, gross football game potential, and then they close with Texas.
If you had to pick, so you don't have a bet on this, but if you had to pick one of those two teams to make the playoff, which one do you feel safer rolling with? The Nuss Bus?
God damn it. Well, what's the spread? Hold on. I'm gonna pause for a second. And the reason
Texas A&M has to be favored.
Texas A&M is a 2.5-point favorite this week. I just wanted to make sure. Total is 53.5. I kind of like LSU. I kind of like I bet against him last week with Arkansas. That was fucking stupid. again, you know my Nussmeier love. Like, the dude just every week. We had a joke, neighbor Jason and I, last year, Xavier Worthy for Texas would, like, get injured and, like, limp off the field and, like, get carted to the locker room and then come back and catch, like, a 90-yard touchdown. That's Nuss. Every game, he's getting the shit kicked out of him. Then, like, he's gone. Oh, nope, he just threw another touchdown. I like LSU reluctantly so. What about you?
I think I like Texas A&M.
Yeah, I get it. It's tough.
I mean, also, if you could only go to one stadium for the rest of your life between those two, if you had to pick between the
LSU.
Two. In a heartbeat?
Yeah.
Cut?
Yeah. LSU, the it's, how do I say this pissing somebody off?
I know.
I feel like the LSU fan and I would just mesh better than the Texas A&M fan.
Yeah, you know what? I would agree with that. I actually, there are some people that I really, shout out the LSU equipment staff. They're very nice. I have met them and become friends with some of their equipment staff people. So they're very wonderful who stay after coaches leave. That's another thing is, like, sometimes you think staffs, there's overturn. Some people are really rooted in their positions in athletic departments, which is really great. But yeah, I was actually talking about, because, okay, this is a little bit of a tangent, but I was saying to someone, this weekend I was off for my birthday, so I watched college football, but I got to drink while watching college football this weekend, which was actually very fun. So I was celebrating my birthday, had a few people over watching games, and I was saying LSU, I'm like, oh, I've been to New Orleans twice, and, like, I don't really have to go back. I don't really need to go back to Louisiana. I was like, you know what? I'm good on Louisiana. I've been twice, once for the national championship, once for the Final Four. I was like, I'm good. I feel like I'm Louisiana'd out. And then someone asked me, oh, where would you want to go see a game? And I was like, wait a minute. I guess I lied to you guys. Like, I'm not Louisiana'd out. Like, I want to go see a game in Baton Rouge. So apologies for saying that I would never go to Louisiana again. I will go to Louisiana again for an LSU game.
I could,
but that's the only reason I would go.
Are there any bowl games in New Orleans?
No, the Super Bowl is in New Orleans.
I don't do Super Bowls, but I am excited to go back to New Orleans.
I don't do Super Bowls either, neither does my team.
Well, neither does.
Remind me that I have random shit from producer Matt, by the way.
Fair enough. Let's see. Any other... I don't have Illinois, Oregon.
Okay, I don't either, but I love that Dan Lanning closed practice this week.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Oh, yeah. It is closed practice. They're taking it so seriously. This is the trappiest of trap games, just like Purdue was. That's why they...
Dan Lanning's a really smart guy. This spread is fucking hilarious. If I were to bet a side, it would be Oregon minus 21.5. And, hey, look, shout out to Illinois for, like, doing the thing against a really shitty Michigan. Oregon's going to win this by, like, let's see, 45-14. That's your final score in this game.
Okay.
If you and then Oregon plays at Michigan.
Chi is telling you.
Minister of Chi. any other... Oh, I did want to hit one more thing. Oklahoma. This is... We're in a danger zone point for Oklahoma as a football program.
Yeah.
And I'm putting up the red flag. So here's what happens, right? Now, in this new age of chaos that you allude to, and I totally agree with you, Oklahoma is now a kind of an easier game in the SEC. They have beaten Temple, Houston, and Tulane. They also beat Auburn, but they could have lost that game.
Yeah.
They've lost every other game, Tennessee, Texas, and South Carolina. They are a 3-touchdown underdog against Ole Miss this week. Then they play Maine. Then they play at Missouri, Alabama, and at LSU.
R.I.P.
They may not make a bowl game, right?
No. Like, yeah, they're not.
They got four wins. They need six. They're going to beat Maine. Are they going to win another one to make a bowl? Like, and
no,
that Venables thing. We mentioned this. They extended him.
Yeah.
Before the season, dude, this ain't good. I'm just saying it's not good, and I think it's going to be really not good this weekend against Ole Miss because I think they're going to be pissed off, and I think Oklahoma is going to get fucking crushed this game.
And imagine how mad Oklahoma fans are that they can't even be like, oh, we want Lincoln Riley back. because Lincoln is shitting the bed over at USC.
Would you, if you were Oklahoma though, right now, and you said, "We will trade Brett Venables for Lincoln Riley,"
you would do it. Yeah,
in a heartbeat, right? Yeah, right.
But you also, I'm sure, they're mad that they're being made to feel that way. They're yearning for Lincoln Riley's return, and I bet you a lot of them did not want that feeling ever.
Dude, it vibes. Minister of Chi, not there.
The Chi is not there. Brett Venables is not somebody that strikes me that has, like, good Chi.
No, one of the strangest interviews I've ever done. Looked like he just, like, he was so fidgety, and I'm a fidgety bastard. Like, no. Like,
really,
guy knows ball. Defense, at least. I don't know if he knows how to be a head coach.
I just, always think about the story that Dabo tells about him, where he's, like, talking about how he's, like, sitting in the back of the room, like, writing up plays, and he's like a madman. Yes.
Can I also want to say one more thing, and then we can do locks. Clemson, who does not play this week, has become likable for me. And I'm not quite sure how it happened. Right?
I don't know how it happened either. They on our live show, I was literally ranting about how Tennessee should not be ranked above Clemson. And especially after this week and what you saw with Georgia and Texas, Clemson should not be ranked below Tennessee, and Alabama was ranked way too high. I used to get so mad at Dabo when he used to say, "Little old Clemson," and now here I am being like, "Little old Clemson deserves to be up there." It's wild. It is wild how we've become lovers of Clemson. Who would have thought?
Lovers of Clemson. Sounds like a novel.
Lovers of Clemson.
I know they don't play this week. And then they play Louisville at Virginia Tech and at Pitt. So actually the shit gets real here for Clemson, if you want to call it that, in the ACC. All right, let's do locks. Me, you.
I mean, since you did so poorly last week, I'll go first to save the people.
Kind of a dick move, but fine.
I'm just really coming at you this week. I don't know what it is.
You know, you're good. I've been.
Maybe
you're right.
It's because you waited so long to wish me happy birthday, but
that's for random shit. That's good. Table that too, because that's a great story.
I'm kidding. I just know that it will actually make you feel bad. But
I felt terrible.
It's okay. We'll get to it. I am not as chalky as I thought I was going to be. So first, I'm starting out with Boise State. I'm going to take them -3.5. So I'm starting with the chalk. And are you going against me?
Yeah.
I have
UNLV.
UNLV, really?
Yeah. I think that the Hawaii game scared me a little bit. And, like, you know how much I love.
Coming off a bye week, though?
Genty. I think Barry Odom is, like, this is the guy you want scheming this up. I think UNLV's, like, legit. I do it painfully. I am so excited for this game. I actually thought about not getting involved in this because I kind of just want to root for Genty to cause chaos. But I think UNLV is legit. Although this is the only underdog I have. So we're not off to a great start. So
we are not. The underdog that I have next is, which I feel like is a weird underdog, is BYU +2.5.
All right, now we're really off to a bad start.
Because that's what DraftKings says, and there's some other... Maybe, is it wrong? Because...
I have... I thought... So I have some thoughts on this. So I have UCF in this game. I loved UCF when they came out early. It was plus... I almost just knocked my mic over. It was +1 to start.
DraftKings has BYU favored 1.5. Or, sorry, ESPN Bet has... BYU -1.5. And then DraftKings has BYU +2.5.
What happens in this is there's a rumor of injuries on BYU.
No. I looked when I saw this.
And for it to move a line like this.
Wait a minute. And that's messed up because we talked about this with the Cam Rising thing and like divulging injuries and stuff like that has been a big topic.
That is why, as far as I can understand, the line has moved. But I haven't seen anything that makes it
Legit.
And for it to move, you're really talking about the starting quarterback. I don't know what's going on. I like UCF, everywhere. But I don't like the funny business.
I don't like the funny business either, but you know
what I'm saying. So we're 0-2 again. Oh, my God.
UCF?
Yes, but who do you – this is not good. This is not –
Who do you go with? Well,
Minister of Chi.
Yeah,
Ministry of Chi. Minister, whatever.
Ministry of Chi. Now you're in Harry Potter.
That's even better. That's even better. That's my
so
new
now
title.
You're a professor at Hogwarts.
Hogwarts. Good Chi. I'd be the professor all the kids pick want.
You could you know, maybe go to Wisconsin and teach a class.
Oh, that'd be great.
That's the closest. I guess, no, Illinois. Is the University of Illinois closer to you than Wisconsin?
Actually, Wisconsin's probably close. Northwestern.
Okay, that's what I thought.
We're not exactly Northwestern types here.
Minister of Chi is not something that Northwestern would have.
No.
Wisconsin would have a minister of Chi.
Oh, yeah. Like hacky sack and sandals and, yeah, it would be me. I would fit in nicely there. All right, what other game do you have that I clearly picked the other side of? I feel like there's one more.
I'm sure there's plenty. You said you went chalk this week?
I did, which is weird that UCF is chalk, but they are technically chalk. So I have them.
The other game that I'm sure you picked against me is... Let's see. Vanderbilt, Texas.
No, I stayed away.
You stayed away? Vandy.
I thought about taking Vandy.
Yeah, I'm taking Vandy.
I think that...
offensively is why I'm concerned. Texas defense is very, very good. Don't get me wrong. They were fine for the first half of that game, and then they just got their ass kicked. But...
I like it.
I think the offense is going to be low and running.
I will kind of dumpster diving for my next one. I think USC is going to beat Rutgers by like 100.
Yeah.
On Friday night, they're -14. The game starts at 10 p.m. Pacific time, I think. It's like a midnight, or excuse me, 10 p.m. Central time, 8 p.m. Pacific. So Rutgers is playing a football game at 11 p.m., essentially body clock situation. This is going to be bad. This is a terrible matchup for Rutgers, who's not played well.
You're doing the body clock thing? Wow.
I felt so good to say that. I wrote that in the piece, too. Body clock.
The last time I heard that was a Miami game, and I'm taking Miami -21.
In my also picks, I had the over in this game. I think Miami may hit the over by themselves.
Yeah, the Miami-Louisville game, holy smokes, dude. That was like, as an over ever been hit harder.
That was absurd.
And then, sadly, I'm going against the Arizona Wildcats on family weekend at home. I'm taking West Virginia +3.5.
I fucking hate them. Wait, is it West Virginia?
Yeah, West Virginia.
Wait, I thought it was somebody else. Oh, no, I fucking hate, they're banned. I can't even talk about them. I've lost so much goddamn money the last 2 weeks betting on that shit-ass team.
Oh, on West Virginia?
Yeah, I'm so... They're
talking about Arizona. I was like, fair as well.
I'm Arizona's fine. No. I wouldn't come at you that hard. West Virginia, though, these dumb guys.
I mean,
odds makers just suck at their job.
This episode title could be Paige Bullies Kramer.
Minister of Chi. Yeah, easy for me to say. All right, I've got two more. One of which is actually an interesting game. It's not this one. I have Minnesota -4 versus Maryland. I did have Maryland against USC last week. I still don't think Maryland's a very good team. I think Minnesota has figured a few things out. And the last one, Notre Dame -12.5 versus Navy. Really interesting game. Have you seen who Navy has beat? Like, so they beat Memphis, which is a good win. That was a good win at the time. The remaining teams at Navy SB are as follows: Bucknell, Temple, Memphis, good win, UAB, Air Force, and Charlotte. So I think Army is a legit threat to Notre Dame.
Okay.
I don't know if Navy is.
You don't believe in Navy.
But I'm
wow.
Having confidence in Notre Dame is also feels a little reckless. So we'll see what happens.
I'm excited to watch that game. I actually think that's the game I'm most excited for.
Me too.
This week.
Me
as
too.
Much as LSU Texas A&M is cool, that's the one I really want to see.
Notre Dame controls a lot of shit because of who they play,
yeah,
and because of who they lost to. Notre Dame has the fate of, I think, of a few teams in their hand.
Yep. Cool. Random shit. Producer Matt sent me a video on TikTok of this guy talking about Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. I'm just curious if you would like to give us your thoughts on the version of Aaron Rodgers that your Jets team now possesses.
Sunday night, I watched the Mets lose game 6 to the Dodgers and simultaneously watched the Jets crumble against Pittsburgh. Now, I'm proud of the Mets. Mets gave me about as much joy, more joy than I expected. This was an unbelievably fun 4 to 5 weeks of baseball. I know they have the biggest payroll, so it's kind of like the little engine that could. No, they were fun. Watching the Jets just shit down their legs repeatedly, and the stupid fucking look that Rodgers has on his face, and the way they lose is so dumb. I'm not even like mad at Rodgers. I just don't like them right now. I think they're kind of in like a, I don't really want to deal with them right now.
Okay.
Like,
they're dead too.
And Rodgers, right, like every time he's like, like this disappointing face when he's throwing,
yes, like it's
dog
somebody else.
Shit interceptions. Like, dude, they were driving and like in control of that game, and then his goddamn interception just, fine, you got what you wanted. You got me to crack. I'm tired of him and I'm tired of them. My kids were so excited about Davante Adams. They like loved Davante Adams for some reason. The boys were like, sweet, this is gonna be great. They're like,
Taco Bell in his house.
This sucks, and they suck. And I'm like, guys, you're right. Like, let's take a break from sports. Like, let's watch college football and just, you know, we're good there. So I'm not a huge fan. I did want to bring up random shit. So it was your birthday earlier this week. You and I communicated. This is something relatable for people throughout the day about work. I was lamenting my Twitter account,
Twitter frustration,
and then like, which was occupying a lot of real estate in my brain, truly. And then that
I was worried about you.
And then it dawned on me. I'm like, oh my God, we should see if you could send Matt the string of text messages I sent. They're wholesome, like, OMG, so sorry, I'm terrible friends. Because I feel terrible when I do that. I've done that before. People have done that to me too. It's all good. It happens. But I am sorry. I should have texted
you
earlier.
Honestly, like, I've been very blessed that like my 30th birthday was like a Friday, and my birthday's been, it was like on a Saturday of the year after that, and it's this year for it to be like on a Monday, like, I don't know, I was over it. Mondays are like business as usual. I like celebrated on the weekend, got the time off, but still had the show to do, you know what I mean? Like, there's just stuff when you get to a certain age where you're just kind of like, meh, okay. I had a great time celebrating, and I was very grateful that, you know, my family and friends here, did a great job of celebrating. I did get to ask a bunch of my friends to, and family members to be in my wedding.
Nice.
Yeah, I invited them over under the, guise that I was hosting a birthday brunch, but it was to ask a few people to be in my wedding so far.
That's
so
very nice.
That was a very fun way to celebrate, my birthday and to drink while watching college football. I don't get to do that very often.
Yeah, it's hard to do that now.
It is. It's hard to do that. And now that having one weekend a year or maybe two a year that I get to do that, was something. It was nice.
That's awesome. Any other? Somehow, 56 minutes later, we did the thing we always do.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just still, Mr. Chi is just really.
That's it. I need a jersey.
What do you put it? Do we get you like a Wisconsin jersey? Because it would be Wisconsin would be the closest place. You're an Iowa guy,
Iowa. Wisconsin definitely is a minister of chi.
Or do we get you a Texas one because there's like Minister of Culture and Minister of Chi, and that's where this was inspired from? You guys tell us.
Yeah, yeah, I like.
You know
the title,
who needs
though.
A Minister of Chi is probably the Jets, so that could be a good.
I'm not. No, they can fucking. They can do their own chi. I'm done. I'm done for a while until they're relevant again, and then you know I'll be right back. All right, it should be a very fun week. Again, watch us on AP Poll Show on Sunday, the BR app. Get ready for the playoffs and get ready for the week. Paige, I'm Adam. We will talk to you guys soon.